Hello, everybody. This is Paul Neeson from Torah Life Ministries. Thank you for listening to the program. The name of my website is Torah Life Ministries. And today I'm going to be talking about a topic that I get a lot of controversy over, or basically it's this idea of, do we still need to keep the guidelines and instructions of our Creator? And when you hear it that way, you say, of course we do. That's ridiculous to think that we no longer need to follow what Yeshua, the one they call Jesus, was teaching. However, when we change the word guidelines and instructions to law, then it has a whole different idea. And then if I ask you, do we still need to keep the law? Many Christians will say, no, the law is done away with. Yeshua, the one they call Jesus, came to do away with the law. So now you have this issue of controversy is if we really need to keep the guidelines and instructions or not, or the law. Well, the Bible, the correct word in the Bible is, it's called Torah. And the question now becomes is, do we need to keep the Torah of our Creator? Here's where the confusion come in. There's two definitions or ideas or sets of laws. And the law the church is teaching is not the law that Yeshua, the one they call Jesus, taught. That is the confusion. And we are no longer and never should have kept the guidelines and instructions or the man-made traditions that went against what Yeshua was teaching. But we, of course, have to follow the guidelines and instructions of Yeshua. And those guidelines and instructions are the commandments. The commandments in the Bible. You see, in Judaism, they have something called the oral law. And Yeshua came to talk about the written law that Moses gave us. So Moses, he didn't give them to us. That's another mistake people often make, as they say, Moses gave us the law or the guidelines and instructions or the written Torah. No. Our wonderful Creator Yahweh gave them to us, and Moses was the amazing messenger that shared it with the people. So if you say Mosaic Law, it's not about Moses. It's about him being the messenger of something that came from our wonderful Creator. So if you're against the message of Moses, you're against the message of our Creator. And if you're against the message of Yeshua, you're against the message of Moses, and vice versa. Yeshua was teaching people the same law, the same instructions that Moses was teaching them that we need to keep throughout all our generations. And it was the Pharisees and sages that added to that. And it says in Deuteronomy, do not add or take away, but keep my written word. And over again in Scripture, it says Moses wrote down all of these things that Yahweh told him. So in Judaism, they have something called the Oral Torah, which many Christians confuse. And this is where the burden or the yoke comes through, because Yeshua's yoke is easy and simple. It says, my commandment shall not be burdensome. What is burdensome is everything that the Pharisees and the sages added to it. And this is the problem that Yeshua had with them. For example, let's take the Sabbath for example. So many Christians will read the Ten Commandments and they'll skip over the fourth one, which is thou shalt keep the Sabbath holy. And they'll make many excuses of why they no longer need to follow the fourth commandment based on more excuses that they've heard from some church or assembly or somewhere else. So we take the fourth commandment and we look at the way Yeshua, the one they call Jesus, dealt with the fourth commandment. And he said not to never keep the Sabbath. He said the way they were teaching the Sabbath was wrong because the Pharisees and sages were adding to what needs to be done. Well, the written word, it's very clear and simple what needs to be done and what needs to be not be done. The confusion comes in when you add the burden of the oral Torah or the oral law or the traditions of man, and they start talking about turning on light switch and how far they can walk and how many steps they could take and what buttons they could press here and what they could do there. No, that's not what the written word says, and the written word was quite clear. And even then, everything in the written words has a principle behind it. So we can apply every single guideline and instruction today in a principle form. So things might be different today in terms of what technology we're using and how advanced we become versus back then. However, the principle can still be performed and needs to be performed, because in the renewed covenant, sin is defined as not keeping the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. It's transgression of the Torah. Now, which Torah is it? It's transgression of the written Torah, the guidelines and instructions that our Creator gave us. That's what sin is. And Yeshua's message was, repent, go and sin no more. You see, a lot of people out there desire to make a practice out of their sin. And now Christianity is teaching it's okay because we got the grace of Yeshua, so we can live in sin. It doesn't matter anymore. That's their ultimate message when they teach that the law was done away with, or the guidelines and instructions of our Creator was done away with. Now, many Christians will say, that's crazy that you would say that the church is saying it's okay to live in sin. Well, they're not just coming straight out and saying it's okay to live in sin, because they're not defining sin. But when you define sin as living against the guidelines and instructions of our Creator as found in the Bible, and when their church says that the Old Testament is done away with, we have a New Testament. Well, right in the beginning of the New Testament, we have a Messiah who's telling us, go and sin no more. Go and live your life according to the words of my instructions. That's what righteousness is. And the church is saying, no, you don't have to do that. So now you come into the situation where you had the ancient Pharisees and sages coming up against Yeshua, and because they were adding to the guidelines and instructions, and Yeshua said, no, we're not to add or take away. But now you have the common church taking away, saying we don't have to do anything. So back then you said you had to do more, and here you're saying you have to do less. But Yeshua came to say, no, it's very simple what we need to do. Keep the guidelines and instructions of Yahweh. And he says, my commandments are not burdensome. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. How many of you listening right now love our Messiah Yeshua? Then why aren't you keeping or desiring or seeking to follow his guidelines and instructions and what he says in his word? And the answer is, you truly do love him, but you've been deceived to think you're released from that and you don't have to do that anymore. And I see that because I get this reply quite often from people who email me scriptures about Paul's writings, and they get into this grace versus law and now sin and the schoolmaster and all these other different words, and they twist around Galatians. And I'm not saying people in general, but the translations will twist around Galatians, and they'll hear a pastor of a megachurch that's twisting around things. And you know, it's so funny that the megachurch pastors and all these other pastors are saying, oh, the old covenant is done away with, the Old Testament is done away with, but then they ask for tithing and they talk about how important it is to tithe. Last I checked, that was an original covenant concept, which we actually cannot perform today in that same way. But the principle is still there to support the people that are teaching you, to support those that are doing the certain work. So we see we have these original covenant guidelines and instructions known as the written Torah, and we have the principles that still apply to us today that we can still do. We are not to pick and choose. That is what is New Age is. That is what the mega church is getting in today with something called Chrislam, which is mixing different cultures, different traditions, different man-made traditions, and even different written text. But Yeshua says, I am the only way, the only. There's only one way to the Father, and that is through Yeshua. So there's only one way, and that's what we have to remember. We also have to remember that he died for us for a reason. He didn't die for us for no reason. And we deserve that death. We are the ones that deserve to die for our sin, for the way we were living. And we were on death row, and we were set up to be put to death. But he came and set us free. He set us free by his blood, not that we would go and live a lawless life, not that we would go and live a Torahless life, not that we would go and follow man's traditions. No, that we would go and get right with the word and follow the word and live by the word. But people today are deceived, and they're just not doing that because they want to appease the flesh. And the flesh says, I want to do it my way. I don't want to do it our Creator's way. I don't want to do it the way that we're instructed to in Scripture. Action speaks louder than words, folks. So even if you proclaim Yeshua with your lips, if your heart is not into it, remember, when Yeshua said, go and sin no more, he didn't just say, go and live the life you want to live. Go and live according to your flesh. No, he says, go and live against your flesh. Go and live according to the set-apart spirit that teaches us to live according to the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. And then many Christians will say to me today, they say, oh, you know, I don't need to read the word because his spirit speaks to me and tells me what to do. And I tell you, if that spirit that's speaking to you is going against what Scripture says, that's not the spirit of our wonderful Creator. And you're being seriously deceived, and you're leading yourself into a dangerous path. He gives us the guidelines and instruction. He tells us how to dictate our lives, what to do, how to live. And Yeshua is our great example, and that's why he's known as the living Torah. Now, if the Torah is the written guidelines and instructions of our Creator, the written commandments. So now you have Yeshua telling people to live that way, and he says that if you love me, keep my commandments. Why in the world are we not following his word? Why? The deception that is out there. What the enemy is doing to people to make people think and have an excuse to live in sin is just a clear hypocrisy. And that's what Yeshua came to do away with. So we look at this. I'm going to read some scriptures that somebody emailed me here. They had a question for me on my YouTube page, which you can find through my website at TorahLifeMinistries.org, or you can go straight to the YouTube page, Health Watch Man. But somebody said to me, they sent me Romans 6:14, trying to defend the idea of living a life of sin and justifying it. And again, we use these words sin, and most people will say like, oh, well, I don't think the church is telling me it's okay to live in sin, and I'm not making an excuse to live in sin. But really, when you say that the Old Testament is done away with, when you say things like we are no longer under the law, that's exactly what you're saying in your actions. You're saying, I don't need to follow the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. And I tell you this, Yeshua did not give us a new law. He did not give us new commandments or different commandments. He pointed us exactly to the guidelines and instructions of our Creator found in the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. That's the set of instructions. And the Ten Commandments are only 10 of the many commandments of how we are to live our lives, what we are to do, how we are to perform what we perform, and so on. So in Romans 6:14 it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. And this fellow that emailed me goes on in his own idea or his own words, says, the law in the Old Testament was bringing people down because disobedience, and people were punished. That the word but tells us that something has changed. Yes, something has changed. Now we have a Messiah, a wonderful, loving Messiah who told us we need to take that guideline instruction off paper, the challenge that it was so hard to keep, and it needs to become part of us and be put on a heart. So we're living it not because we have to, but because we want to. So we see here that he died for us, and we're not saved by following a guideline and instruction. We don't follow the guideline and instruction to be saved. We're saved by the blood of Yeshua, the one who took our place on death row. So we don't keep the guidelines and instructions to be saved. We keep the guidelines and instructions because we are saved. He died for us. Can't we do that in return, folks? We look at this in another translation. We read the same thing, the Romans 6:14, and it goes on. It says here, for your sin shall not master it over you. For you are not under the penalty of the law of breaking, but under grace. We have the grace of Yeshua that gives us the time and the patience to get it right. But trust me, folks, Yeshua's message was repent, which means turn from your evil ways, turn from your sin, and sin no more. That was his message. It wasn't saying, because I died for you, you can continue living this way. What changed was he said, I'm going to give you a fresh start. No matter how much you messed up, no matter how bad you've been, no matter how wrong you've been, I'm giving you a fresh start and setting you free to get it right. And if our desire is to get it right, and when we mess up, he'll pick us up and his blood will be up there to cover us. But if we desire to use that as an excuse to live in sin, to live against his word, if we desire to say that we can go living according to our flesh and say that the guidelines and instructions are done away with, that's just as good as mocking him. And there are scriptures that say, oh, how much worse? It's bad enough you didn't follow the Torah, the guidelines and instructions before Messiah came, but how much worse it'll be for those of you that desire not to follow these guidelines and instructions now that he has come here and presented them to you so clearly, if you love me, keep my commands. So, but this person that emailed me here on YouTube is just deceived like most Christians today. Understanding that the Torah came off paper and supposed to be in our heart, it's not different. It's a renewed covenant, not a new covenant. That's what we got to get. And then this person sent me another scripture here. They sent me Acts 6:14 and 15. So we'll turn there and we'll look at what it says in Acts 6:14 and 15. And basically, he sent me a King James Version, and I have a version here that I'll read here. It says, in a different version, it says, Acts 6, 14 and 15. It says, "For we have heard him saying that this Yeshua, the Nazarene, will destroy this place and will change the customs which Moses delivered over us. And having looked intently at him, all those having sat in the Sanhedrin saw his face, and it was like the face of an angel." So this person that's sending me this email is saying that it says, "For we have heard him saying that Yeshua of Nazarene will destroy this place and will change the customs which Moses delivered over to us." So no, in no way what this is talking about in Acts is the false witnesses that came up against Stephen to try to justify murdering him. And Stephen was martyred. In no way was he saying anything about we need to change the customs that was delivered to us through Moses. And customs is a very bad word. What it is the guidelines and instructions and the law. If these people really wanted to stir up people, they should have said he tried to change the law of Yahweh or the word of our Creator. Not only the man-made customs of the rabbis back then, but Moses was teaching and what was he delivered to us was the written word of our wonderful Creator. When scripture is twisted like this, for people to say, and he will change the customs, Yeshua will come and change the customs. No, he was saying he would, make it more important, not do away with it. But the people wanted to create a false testimonial against Stephen here. And this is what they were doing. And that's how people take out a scripture and they corrupt it. And now this fellow's going along thinking sin has no dominion over us, that we have grace. And here in the Bible, it's talking about changing customs and so on. And we don't have to do that. But you got it all wrong when you start pulling scriptures out that don't even mean what you think they mean. And then he goes on to send me Matthew. Matthew 23, 1-5. So as I turn to Matthew 23, verses 1-5, again, we see how it's just twisted. And the problem people have when they read their scriptures the way Christianity teaches it today. And I want to encourage everyone listening to read your Bibles for yourself. But read it with the right understanding and the right heart. And to do that, you have to get a good translation. And I will submit to you, every translation out there is bad and terrible because of one reason. And if you take care of this one reason, it'll make those translations much better and clearer to understand. And that reason is there's a paper between the original covenant and the renewed covenant, between the Old Testament and the New Testament, that's confusing everyone. And you need to rip that paper out. And when you rip that paper out, you'll start to see it more clearly that the Bible isn't two books. It's one book and one message. And that's what we have to understand. It never changed. But as we go to Matthew 23, 1-5, it says, "Then Yeshua spoke to the crowd and to his disciples." So we have Yeshua speaking to the crowd, to his disciples, to the multitude, and saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have sat down on Moses' seat." So in the synagogue, they had this seat with the Pharisees and the sages were sitting down, and that's where they were doing their teaching from. Their teaching, their man-made customs that went beyond what Moses was giving through the written word. And verse 3 says, "Then all the things, whatever he, Moses, tells you to keep, keep and do, but do not do according to their works, for they talk and they do not do." So here is Yeshua telling his multitude, his followers, when they tell you to follow what Moses said to do it. But don't go beyond that. Don't do the things that they're not even doing themselves when it says do not add or take away from the Torah. But that's exactly what they were doing. They had all these man-made customs. And that's what Yeshua was saying not to do. Do not do the man-made customs that go beyond the written Torah that was given to Yeshua. And that was the problem that Yeshua had with them when he went and he rebuked them. And we take this verse 3 of Matthew 23. "Then all the things whichever Moses tells you to keep, keep and do. But do not do according to their works." Their works, because they themselves were not righteous. They themselves were adding an extra yoke that we are not to keep. Because it says in the scriptures, "My commandments are not burdensome." But what was burdensome was the the yoke of the Pharisees and the sages that were adding to it. And it's just like today, the man-made customs of Judaism are not the same thing as the written word of our Creator. So you have the oral law versus the written law, and they're two different things. But the church just says the law is done away with. Yeshua said no, the law of the oral Torah, the guidelines and instructions, that's what we are not to follow. We have to follow the written word of our Creator. That's what we need to follow. Verse 4 says, for they bind heavy and hard to bear burdens, and they lay on the shoulders of men, but they do not desire to move them one finger. So they just want to sit there in the chair, in Moses' seat, tell people what to do, and they're not even doing it. And they want to add to it and tell people to do even more stuff that they're not even doing. Yeshua says, and they do all their work, in verse 5, to be seen by men. And they widen their tefillin, and they lengthen their tassels of their robes, and they want everything for show. It's all about show with them. But Yeshua said, do things in secret. You know, not for show. You know, fast in secret, pray in secret. You know, pray on your own. It's not about a show. It's about Yeshua. It's about your relationship with Him. And it's not about religion, it's about a relationship with Him. That's what we have to understand. And if you have a relationship with somebody, you desire to please them. That's what you desire to do. And if you love somebody, you desire to go to the extra mile to please them. And when Yeshua died for us, He didn't have to die for us, but He did die for us. Because He wanted us to get this right. And He wanted us to know we have this second chance. You see, Proverbs is another word for wisdom, folks. And in Proverbs 17:15. It says exactly about our judge. It says, he who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the just, even both of them are hateful to Yahweh. And what that is saying is, we committed a crime and we are standing in front of this righteous judge, our wonderful Creator, and we are to be sentenced. And a righteous judge can never set free the unrighteous. They have to pay the price. Somebody has to pay the price for that crime. And that's it. And that's where Yeshua stepped in. And He said, I'll pay the price for that crime. I'll do it. I'll take the death for this person that deserves it. For us that deserves it. That's one of the most amazing, powerful verses in all scripture. Proverbs 17:15. When we think about Yeshua, what Yeshua did for us. And I tell people all the time. No matter what type of lifestyle you were living before, no matter what your thought pattern was before, if you're standing somewhere on a corner and somebody, a car pulls up to you and somebody pulls out of that car and they pull out a gun and they hold it right to your head and they're about to pull the trigger. And at the last second, somebody jumps right in front of that gun and they take that bullet for you and they go down for you. You are going to have every desire and every passion to be thankful and to tell everyone what that person done for you. And your life is going to change. There's no way you can continue living the same life you did before. You are going to want to do your best to make sure it is known what that person done for you. And the best way we can do to let people know what Yeshua done for us is to live the way He told us to live. And do what He told us to do. And live according to the guidelines and instructions of our Creator and not against them. Remember, He told us to go and sin no more. To stop living a life against our flesh, according to our flesh, according to our desires. And stop living a life against the word of our Creator. To get right with His word so He could be right with us. That's what He wants us to do. And I'm sad to say in most churches, that's not what's being taught. What's being taught is people focusing on themselves, not on Yeshua. About how we can have more, how we can get better, and how we could do things. But no, it has to be a thankful heart. Yeshua died for us. This is what He did for me. And I'm going to do this because He died for me. And we need to remember that and never forget that. And we need to read His words. And I promise you, His words do not talk about you can live in sin and you'll be set free if you continue to have a desire to live in sin. No, His word says, live according to the commandments found in the Bible in the first five books in the Torah. And I will give you a set-apart spirit to make that burden very easy so you can accomplish those if that's your desire. And since you're new to this, since you're new to separating yourself from your fleshly desires, you will make mistakes. You will mess up. But I will be there to carry you. Through my mercy and my patience, I will be there to help you. But that is for those who have the desire to follow his guidelines and instructions, not those that desire to continuously make a practice out of living in sin and using his death as an excuse. That's where he says no. He says, Ezekiel 33:11 says, I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people. I only want them to change from their wicked ways so they can live, so they can have life, so they can get another chance. What is wickedness according to the Bible? Wickedness is living against the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. That's what it is. Wickedness is living in sin. And he calls us out of that. He says, don't do that. Wake up. And that's what we need to do. We need to wake up. We need to see this truth. So yeah, I know many people have been taught something from the past. And it's my prayer that your eyes will be open to this and see that the commandments are applicable to our life today. And that is how we're blessed. We're not saved. We don't have salvation through following a law or a guideline or an instruction. No, we're saved by the blood of Yeshua. And that is the only way we're saved. The one you call Jesus died for us and by his blood set us free. However, we are blessed by keeping the guidelines and instructions of him, our wonderful Creator. He desired us to live a blessed life, and he gives us that future and that hope. Blessings and obedience go hand in hand, but the opposite of that is curses. Do you want to live a life of curses? Well, the scriptures are very clear. If you're disobedient to my word, if whatever you want to call it sin and you want to call it disobedience, curses are attached to that. But if you follow my guidelines and instructions, you'll be blessed and you'll have a great life of peace and shalom. That's what it is. That's what he calls us to do. And we have that opportunity to do that. So I want to encourage everyone to go to my website and look at all the videos I have on these topics, and to see what the guidelines and instructions of our Creator are. And then we could realize that he's given us these instructions that many people have been deceived away from. And if we can do that, you can start realizing and counting the blessings and experiencing them. And remember, we're not doing this to be blessed and get blessings. We're doing this again because he died for us. So we need to do this for him and set an example of who he is and what he wanted us to do. The best way to do that is through your obedience and through your love. And it's not about religion. It's about relationship. Hallelujah. So you can go to my website, TorahLifeMinistries.org, and you can see more there and contact me through there. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you next week. Shalom, shalom.